My sister just got married 2 nights ago, so that's why I was not here, my youngest sister. And tonight, in fact, we're in the middle of Sheva Brachos by my in-laws, so I figured we'll speak a little in Yonah D'Yoma. That's correct. They didn't start yet, though, so I didn't gain anything. No, I said I'm yet to hear it. It's good enough. Anyway, so in fact, it's in this week's Parsha, and also in Parsha's Kiseitze. The Psukim tell us about the following. There's such a concept called Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Harishus. We have something called a war once in a while. We do have such things. So the Pasuk tells us in Parsha Shoftim as follows. Miha isha sher aras isha v'la lakacha yelech v'yashav l'beisa. Right? Someone who did not have a chance to live with his wife, who he just had married, and he had not lived with her for a year, like the Pasuk says in Kiseitze, naki yel l'beisa, he has to go to take care of her for a year, and therefore he does not have to go out to a war. The Gemara in Sota tells us in the 8th Parak that that is only with regard to a Mechemes HaRishus, but a Mechemes Mitzvah, obviously there are no exceptions. Everyone has to go out to take care of the Mechemes Mitzvah, and how to define exactly what a Mechemes Mitzvah is a little bit complicated, but basically the Gemara tells us Mechemes Mitzvah, everyone has to go out, there's no Ptur in the first year of marriage, but a Mechemes HaRishus, a Chasin is Pater. So that's where the concept of Shana Rishona comes from, right? We're all familiar with the concept of Shana Rishona, so I want to discuss whether there is any validity to what we colloquially call Shana Rishona. What's this all about? So it really stems from this week's Parsha, from this Pasuk, and it's interesting enough that Rabbeinu Bechaye writes in Parsha Kiseitze a very fascinating comment. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye that the same way a Chasin has to take care of his wife and be Mesameach her for a year, for 12 months after the wedding, so too, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, that's why we find that the Pesukim tell us that they stayed by Har Sinai for an entire year after the Kabbalah Satorah, because the same way a Chasin has to make his Kala happy and stay with her for a year, so too the Ribbono Shel Olam had to make us happy when he married us by Kabbalah Satorah, and he had to stay with us for a year at the experience of Maimon Har Sinai. He had to make sure not to leave. So that's a beautiful comment that Rabbeinu Bechaye makes in discussing this whole issue of Shana Rishona. So that's with regard to that. Now, the question is, how exactly do we count a year when it comes to Shana Rishona? We'll get into the details in a minute, but how do we count a year? Where do we start from and where do we end? So we do know that the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Beis, that for many different halachas, we find that Rosh Hashanah is the cutoff point. For example, we have in the top of the shtar, a person is supposed to write what year it is to the kingdom. So let's say the king began to rule in his kingship a day before Rosh Hashanah. So, when I'm writing a shtar a week after Rosh Hashanah, do I write this is in year one because he only started a week ago? Or do I say, no, I write year two because he already had a week before Rosh Hashanah. Now, we're already in year two because he's starting the second year after Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, with regard to many different Didim, Rosh Hashanah is the cutoff point where there are different cutoff points in the year. And then we would begin to count a new year already starting Rosh Hashanah, even though in fact the king only ruled for 1 year. So that's a chiddush that the Mishnah tells us. Says the Sfasemus over there, Peladik a chiddush. Sfasemus says, maybe with regard to the halacha of Shana Rishona, the Sfasemus on the Gemara, not on Chumash. This is not the chiddush part of the Sfasemus. This is the halacha part. So says the Sfasemus, maybe when it comes to the din of Shana Rishona, maybe you should say that also, a chassan is only chayiv to do it until Rosh Hashanah. That counts as a year. The same way we count for many other halachas a year, beginning Rosh Hashanah and it ends Rosh Hashanah. So too over here, if a chassan gets married 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, a week before Rosh Hashanah, so then he's yotzi, he's chayiv, that's it. After 10 days, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. It's a pellet. That's what the Sfasemus writes. But then in the bottom, he writes in a footnote that maybe I'm incorrect, because in fact, the whole point is, v'sima chesishto, he's supposed to make his wife happy. So what, you're going to cut corners, make your wife happy for 10 days? You think that's going to last? Obviously, the Sfasemus says the maskana is that shouldn't be the case, and we should count a shana shlema. That's what he says, that it's mavur like that in the poskim. The same way the poskim quote this halakha, and they say shana shlema miyom hanisuin. So he says, why are they careful to say miyom hanisuin? What do you mean? Of course miyom hanisuin. That's when we got married. So he says that's what it means. It doesn't mean a shana in the colloquial sense of what a shana is. Over here, what a shana means is miyom hanisuin. From the day we got married, we have to count a year. So there's an interesting suffix in the Aderes, which the poskim quote, an interesting suffix that he had, what's the din in Shana Muberes? We have regarding many different dinim. Rabbi Kivager has a suffix with regard to Parsha Zachar. What do we do when we have a Shana Muberes? So are we Yotzi? Do we say it's just 1 year, that's good enough? Or do we say, no, it's 13 months, now I'm going to forget, because in Hilchos Avelis we find in Yerodeya that the reason why we put up a Matseva, there's two opposing Minhagim that Rabbi Kivager quotes in Yerodeya and Hilchos Avelis. When should we put up a Matseva? Should we put it up right before the end of the 12 months of the Yud Beis Chodesh, or should we put it up right after the 12 months? What's the suffix? So he says, because we all know in halacha that the time that a person remembers something is 12 months. After 12 months, he forgets. So says Rabbi Kivager, is the point of the Matseva that we shouldn't forget, so we put it up right before we forget, right before the end of the 12 months, or should we put it up after we've forgotten him, so we want to remember him. So let's put it up after the 12 months. So that's the suffix that Rebbe Kiva Eiger has. But the bottom line is that 12 months a person forgets about something. Same thing about Parshas Zachar. They have the suffix 13 months, 12 months. What do you do over there? Zachar, you have a chiv to remember it all the time. So should we say that when there's 13 months in a year, you have to lane it an extra time in the year? So that's a suffix. So over here also, the Adaris has a suffix. What would be with the din of Shana Rishona that a person is mechuyev to make his wife happy for a Shana Shleima? So what do you say when there's a year of 13 months? So is a person mechuyev to add that extra month onto his Visimach Hasishta? Interesting suffix that he had. And he brings a raya, which is fascinating, from the din of Batei Arichoma, that the Gemara says that the Psukim tell us that we have only 1 year to take care of the pidyon of the Batei Arichoma. Yet the Gemara darshins in Erechin that Shana Tmima, the word Tmima that it says, specifically the Torah goes out of its way to say Tmima, is L'Rabbah's Chodesh Ibur, to tell me that I even have the extra month. Says the Adaris, it would seem from there that every other place in the Torah when we say a year means a strict year without the extra month. So over here also he says, it could be that in fact if a person gets married and there's a 13-month year, there's an Ibur Yar, so a person would not be Mechuyev to add on that extra month. Whatever, it's what to chew on, what to think about, but it's an interesting suffix that he has that might have ramifications in other halachas as well. When we come to the din of Shana Rishona, so it's interesting that we find in the Chinuch and in the Rambam and in some other Moniyam mitzvahs that they count a lav and an essay. One is a lav that the husband is not allowed to leave for 1 year, one is an essay that he v'simach hasishto, he has to proactively show her that he loves her and makes her actually very happy. So that's the Moniyam mitzvahs count. And in fact, the Gemara says in Ksubas Tav Ches, that within a full year after a person gets married, if they make some sort of meal to show their simcha, to show off to everybody else that they have such happiness together, so they would even make a sha simcha b'ma'ono. And this is paskin in the Rambam as well, based on the Gemara Ksuvas Daf Ches, that within the year we consider it, like the Ritva explains over there in the Gemara, that we consider it within the year v'simach hasishto. It's considered one long happy experience. Chasen and Kala are very excited, so therefore for a whole year straight we would assume that the Chasen and Kala, if they ever make a meal commemorating their happiness, so then we would assume that they would say Shah Simcha B'mono. Just so happens to be, as an aside, we shouldn't go home and tell everybody who just got married that they should say Shah Simcha B'mono the whole year. In Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, Simon Samach Beis, the Mechaber quotes Agoz Maimini that pushes us off La'alachi. He says that since Bizman Azeh, we don't have such elaborate simchas because of the Churban, so now the minig is nowadays we don't make a Shah Simcha B'mono, even if we're extremely happy and the couple looks like they're amazingly excited about each other, still we would not make a Shah Simcha B'mono. But you see, the point there is that for a whole year there is this concept of a Simcha Chasishto, like the Ritva explains. There is a whole year when they are very excited about each other. There are two reasons given as to why there is this chiyuv in the first year of marriage to stay together with their wife. Why do we find that they have to do something different than they do in a normal course of life? Generally, we find couples, sometimes the husband goes on business, sometimes the wife has to go on her whatever she's doing. So why is it that in the first year we find that they have to stick together? So there's two interesting reasons. One is in the Chassam Sofer, he has a tshuva, and he says, because we don't want, when it comes to a war, why is it that the person's mechuyev to stay home from the battlefield and not go out to war? So he says, because he's very distracted. In the first year of marriage, he's not used to his wife, he's so excited, and all he's thinking about all day is his wife. And the wife's thinking about the husband, so therefore we don't want this guy in the field. He says it's like a chatzi guf coming into the field. We have a person who's a little bit disabled, let's say. So you're going to tell me a person who only has one leg, he should go out in front and fight in the front lines? It doesn't make any sense. He's not going to be a good fighter. Maybe he should be in the intelligence. A person like that can do other things. But a man over here who's only thinking about his wife, is so preoccupied with her, he's so excited and he's so distracted, so says the Chassam Sofer, that's why we would assume that he has to come back from the war, he's not supposed to go. The Chinuch writes something fascinating, and I quote the following. He says, Mishrashi HaMitzvah, what's this all about, the first year? Ki Akel Baruch Hu Ala B'machshava Lefanav Livros HaOlam. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to create a world. And how did he want to create the world? He thought that the most pristine way of running a world is that a husband and wife should get married, and from there should come children. We shouldn't have znus all over the place that people are just having illegitimate children. So therefore, says the Chinuch, that the znus is a toeva, al kein gazer aleinu ha'am asher bachar, therefore he commanded us to go and get married and to stay with our wife. Shana shlema me'esha naso osa kedei lahargil hatabaima. Why? In order that I should learn to appreciate my wife so much to the point that I won't have an interest in anyone else's wife. That I won't have an interest in going into other areas of znus. That I'll never go into that type of activity because I spent an entire life learning to appreciate the wife that I married and learning to appreciate all her qualities and learning that there's no one else who's good enough for me, and there's no one that I should be running after. So that's what the Chinuch writes. And therefore, along those lines, says the Chinuch, that even if a wife is mochel her husband in the Shana Rishona, the husband does not have a right to accept that mechila, because the point of it is not just to make her happy. The point of it is also that I should get used to my wife, and I should not have a taiva to go and run after anyone else. I should not have a taiva for znus. So therefore, says the chinuch, even if a wife grants a mechila to her husband, we should not accept that mechila, and the husband has to stay home with his wife the entire year. The Chai Adam, in two places, in the Binas Adam and also in the Chai Adam, he quotes many achronim that say, no, that's not correct. If a wife is mochel, obviously the husband is allowed to accept that mechila and do whatever he has to do. So that's something which is very interesting, halacha lemaisa, and generally I think we follow the opinion of the Chai Adam. Another chiddush that the chinuch writes, which all the achronim pick up on, is that the chinuch says this din does not only apply not to go out to battle. Not only is the husband not allowed to go out to war, says the chinuch, he's not even allowed to leave the house. Afilu l'inyanam acher. He says the husband is not allowed to leave the house for any other things. He says the yamim rabim. Obviously, he's allowed to go out to work in the morning and come home at night. But he says if he's going to go for an extended period of time, that's not a proper thing to do. And he says, this doesn't only apply to a war, this applies to any activity that the husband might find himself wanting to do. He does not have a right in the first year. Chassam Sofer writes that even if you learn, like the chinuch, that a husband, we extend this halacha outside of Muhammad, and we say even with regard to other things, which generally we hear about today, people, young couples talk about Shana Rishona, so that's what they mean. We're not talking about wars nowadays, we're talking about going somewhere out of town without your wife. Is he allowed to do that or not? So even if you believe that the chinuch is correct, that this extends to other areas outside of Muhammad, says the Chassam Sofer in Tshuva, that obviously the Dvar Mitzvah, this would not be the case. Obviously, if a person, like the Gemara says in Ksuvah Stav Samach Beis, if a person wants to go and learn, he doesn't need Rishus from his wife. He's allowed to go ahead and do the Dvar Mitzvah, even if his wife might not be so happy. It might not be the greatest thing for the marriage, that the wife is just not having any option in any of the decisions that are being made. But when it comes to the Dvar Mitzvah, obviously that would be permissible. The Chassam Sofer also does quote an interesting thing, that how are we magdir what a Dvar Mitzvah is? Obviously going to learn in a yeshiva, going to night seder, so that's a Dvar Mitzvah, that's clear to us, that we understand. But what about going to get a job, going to Tzarech Parnasa? I happen to have a Parnasa that takes me a week. I have to go to some fair, I have to go to some sales, which are, you know, a week at a time, I'm not going to come home, so am I allowed to do that or not? So the Chassam Sofer points out an interesting Ramah, that the Ramah writes in Siman Reish Mem Ches and Arachayim that there is a halacha, emaf ligim misvina, I'm not allowed to go on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos. So says the Ramah, unless it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, obviously, the Ramah says that's mutter. So what do we consider a Dvar Mitzvah? The Ramah writes, there are many who go out Litzorach Panasa Seyem, and they consider that a Dvar Mitzvah. So is that correct or not? Let's say I have to take a boat trip to go to take care of my Parnasa. So is that allowed or not? So the Ramah says, yes, that's also called a mitzvah. That's called a Dvar Mitzvah. And the Ramah even writes, even if it's laharvacha ba'alma, I'm already comfortable enough that I can live with the money I have. I don't need this in order to live and pay for my daily expenses and my daily doctor bills and everything else I have to pay. I'm just doing it to become a little richer. Says the Ramah, that's also okay. So the Chassam Sofer takes that over here as well, and he says, the same way a husband, it's clear, even if you learn like the chinuch, that a husband is not allowed to, we extend this din that a husband is not allowed to go away from his wife for an extended period of time in the Shana Rishona, even for other things, even outside of Muhammad, says the Chassam Sofer that it would be clear that a Dvar Mitzvah would be permissible, and a Dvar Mitzvah would even include the Tzarech HaParnasa as well. The Menchas Chinuch there in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Beis has a very difficult time with this Chinuch, and he says, I have not found, I've looked around in all of Shas and in all of the Achronim, all the Poskim, I haven't found anywhere where we know that this din can be extended. The Pasuk only tells me that a chassan in the first year of marriage is not mechuyev to go to war. Where does the chinuch get this chiddush, get this idea from that we should extend it to all other areas? Who said that there's any issue of a chassan going away for any other purpose? Maybe a war is a separate halacha. Maybe the reason why he can't go out to war is because the wife is so nervous that her husband's going to die. Someone always dies in war. In fact, in another place in the Menchas Chinuch, he asks a question. He says, there are only three aveiros that we know. There are only three things in the Torah that we know you're allowed to violate Yahar Val Yav. Right? Generally we say, v'chai v'hem, there's a mitzvah that a person's supposed to try to live as much as he can. So I asked him in Chaschidoch, how do we ever have a constitution, an institution of war? Someone's going to get killed, so why don't you say v'chai b'hem? We shouldn't be allowed to go to war. How is this mitzvah allowed to override the din v'chai b'hem? So it says in Chaschidoch, no, that's the definition of war, that someone's going to die. If the Torah told me that you have to go out to war in certain circumstances, so then obviously implicit in that was that sometimes someone's going to die, and we don't consider the factor of v'chai b'hem. So the same over here, it could be that the only reason why the husband is not allowed to leave in the Shana Rishona to go to war is because the wife is extremely nervous, because over there, people get killed all the time. But to go for other things would not be a concern. The Baal HaTurim writes in Parshas Ki Tse, something very interesting. I'm not a big gematria person at all. But this one is quoted by the poskim lahalacha. So the Balaturim writes something interesting, and he says, since the pasuk says v'simach asishto, pretty easy one, v'simach, how do we count up v'simach? Do the math, it's 364. You're asking, it's not 364, it's 354. V'simach. V'simach. Right? So it's, so says the Balaturim, v'simach is 364, and we know there are 365 days in the year. So, a person is mechuyah to yom samech hazishto b'tashmash amita every night of the year in Shana Rishona, other than Yom Kippur, which is also b'tashmash amita. So we have 1,000 kashas on the Balaturim. Kasha number one that the poskim ask is, first of all, the gematria is not correct. V'simach is 354, not 364. So some achronim say, maybe it means v'simach, since we read it with the yud, so add the yud, so now it's 300, okay, whatever it is, I don't know. I don't understand these things, but the obvious kasha is, what do you mean? A woman, ishto nida is asur. What do you mean? Samach levesto, she's asura. All the shimnikim, she's asur. What are you going to tell me? All the whole Shana Rishani is mechuyev in the midst of Tashra Shamita with his wife the whole year? It doesn't make any sense. However, along those lines, the Achronim do write. It's a tshuva that's found in the Divrei Yetziv, in the Klozim Rebbe. Many others talk about this as well. That a chasen in the first year of marriage is not chayiv to sleep in the sukkah if he's in his first year of marriage on Sukkot. Why? Because he says, since the Balaturim writes as a chiyuv v'simach hasishto, and he's not going to be comfortable sleeping in the sukkah with his wife and tending to her needs at night, so therefore he's patur from sleeping in sukkah the whole first year of marriage. A chiddush nifla lahalacha, which is not quoted in any of the poskim. I remember Rav Asher Weiss telling me many times that the Chazon Ish writes in Shviya Siman Zayin, that to him, in his eyes, the greatest raya that something is incorrect is mistimas lashonam shel ha-poskim. From all the generations, no one has ever said such a thing. This is not a new phenomenon. Obviously, we have current shailas nowadays that come up that no one could have fathomed in all the earlier generations. But a person getting married in Shana Rishona and passing through a sukkah has been happening for the last few thousand years. It's not a new thing. So the Rav Asher Weiss said, in context of this specifically, that he thinks the Chazon Ish is absolutely applicable. And it's very hard to understand how you can say that a chasen is going to be patur. And all the achronim that discuss a couple sleeping in sukkah and whether it is proper to have tashra shamita in a sukkah, whether it's not proper, the Ramah, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, everyone talks about it, but no one discusses any sort of difference between someone who's in his first year of marriage and someone who's in a later stage of marriage in the game.
If this is going for the last few thousand years, why is it only assuming monogamy?
Mm-hmm. Interesting question. Maybe it's a few people, but that's even worse. I'll tell you why. Because then he's not allowed to have Tashra Shamita because there's a few people in the room.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he could be a first year chassan continuously.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I didn't understand what you meant. Okay. Interesting question. Anyway, so that Rav Asher Weiss once told me he has a very difficult time understanding how you could be makel here. You know, in America, we have certain kulas anyway that people use. It's uncomfortable, it's cold outside, it's mistire, it's not safe in some communities, whatever. But just to give a tour, just because it's in Shana Rishona, is not so simple. One last thought I wanted to share was the Shemi Shmuel writes in Parshas Ki Tzetze a very beautiful comment. And he says, with regard to Ben Sora and Mora, we know the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, in the end of Sanhedrin, that Ben Sora and Mora is only able to be, to have that honorary status of Ben Sora and Mora in the first 3 months after his bar mitzvah, in his first 3 months of adulthood. And says the Shemi Shmuel, why is it that we limit him only to become the Ben Sora Mor in the first 3 months of marriage, in the first 3 months of his adult life? Why is it only limited to that and not to the rest of his adult life? Says the Shemi Shmuel as follows, Hakol Nimshach Achar Hareshis. He says, because very often in life, things are really determined after the beginning. Like we know, first impressions make a big difference. So too, the first stages of a person's adulthood and his adult life after his bar mitzvah are very important. And therefore, with kamotam ha-bechar nolta pishnayim, the same way a bechar, the reason why he gets pishnayim is because all the children that come after him are really an offshoot of him. It's because he was the example for the whole family. He was the one who was doing the first work. He was setting the ground roots for the whole family to be matzliach and to actually be mechanech the children properly. So therefore, the reward that he gets for that is, for being the guinea pig, is the fact that he gets the pishnayim. And therefore, he says, that's why Ben Sora Mor, the first 3 months after his bar mitzvah are critical. The first 3 months are very important. He has to make sure to do everything right in those first 3 months. V'zeh limud gadol, says the Shemi Shmuel, person has to be careful to be cognizant of how he treats the beginning phases of any experience in his life. The same way when he's bar mitzvah, so too the beginning of marriage, he says, that's why Shana Rishona is very important, because that is going to be the grassroots for the entire couple's rest of their life. And therefore, he says, the same thing applies when it comes to the Reishis Hashana. We're approaching Rosh Hashanah already, and he says, we have to be careful in the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkot, that's the time when we're trying to chaparai mitzvahs as much as we can. But he says it's along these same lines, that if we want to have a year that's going to be full of bracha and full of siyata d'shmaya, it's only going to be if we're careful with the beginning of the year, with the reishis. The same way the couple has to be careful in the shana rishona, same way the mensura mara has to be careful with the first 3 months, so too we have to be careful in the beginning of our experience in the beginning of every single year that we have. Have a wonderful evening.